I just want to say a few words to you, and that is this. This is what it means to be Christian, what we celebrate today. The resurrection. This is what it is all about. This is what the world out there needs to know. Ask the average man. Ask your friend. Ask your neighbor. What would happen when you die? Well, you'll get a variety of answers, but most of them will coalesce into something, a similar structure. I will die, then my body will be buried, and then it'll be eaten by worms or something, or it'll burn my body. Who knows what the variations, but my body will be done away with. And then you hear, and I, my spirit, will soar into the heavens to be in the clouds with the angels and Jesus. Again, you get some variations along the theme, but it's basically the same story. Someone might tell you about a stop in purgatory. Someone might tell you about a stop at the pearly gates to talk to Peter. But eventually, the story all ends up in the same place. The man standing in the heavenly abode, surrounded by the angels. And you ask the man, what is it like? What do you imagine? He closes his eyes and says, it's very white and fluffy. And what is it? Well, there are angels. What are you going to do? Well, I'm going to sing. I always thought I'd pick up an instrument, maybe the harp. And then what? Well, we'll sing. Well, what will you sing? Maybe Handel's Messiah, the Alleluia chorus? Maybe. Well, then what? Then what? What do you mean, then what? You test this. Go out there today after this liturgy and ask. Then what? And the person will say to you, what do you mean, then what? Heaven is forever. No, it's not. Heaven is the sky. Hashemayim in Hebrew. Uranos in Greek. The thing up there. That is not salvation. That is a temporary state between when you die on this earth where you were created from the dust. A temporary state, as St. Paul says, to go and dwell with Jesus without your body. You're half saved. And you will remain there with Jesus, as St. Paul says, to go to be with the Lord. Or as we say in the memorial service, to the bosom of Abraham, based upon Jesus' parable about Lazarus and the rich man. This is a temporary time of waiting. Sure, there is joy because you are with the Lord. But that's not the end of the story. The end of the story is when, as the book of Revelation tells us, as the fathers of the church tell us, as the church has always told us, as we recite in the creed every Sunday, the end of the story is when Jesus comes back to this earth with the souls of those who have departed. And then they get their bodies back. And we who are on earth here will rise in the clouds to meet Jesus in the air. And not as the modern Protestant idea has it, then Jesus runs off with you to hide you in the clouds somewhere in the rapture. But rather, you will return to the earth with Jesus. And the book of Revelation tells us after the judgment that the wicked will go to the lake of fire with their bodies. But the righteous will dwell on earth with their bodies with Jesus. This is why it matters what you do with your bodies right now. This is why it matters what you do with your bodies right now. We have a problem with sin out there in the world. And it's because people do not understand the value of their bodies. As St. Paul said, it is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And your dead bodies will be raised from the dead someday, so you better be careful what you do with them now, because you're going to have them for all eternity. The arthritis will be gone, don't worry. The book of Revelation tells us what the Bible has told us throughout salvation history, that God made man to dwell on the earth and he planted the garden. Now, where are gardens? Trees, dirt, rocks, rivers, hummingbirds, bumblebees, beautiful flowers, babbling brooks. Is that in the clouds? No, that is on the earth. There's gravity there. And your body's governed by it. And then, you know what happened in the garden. But God's plan will not be thwarted. So he came to dwell among man in the tabernacle. He called Israel to repentance. Adam and Eve back to repentance. And they agreed to abide by his laws as Adam and Eve once were supposed to in the garden. And because they said, all the Lord has said we will do, then God came to dwell among them like in the Garden of Eden. In the tabernacle, the meeting tent that Moses had made. You know the rest of the story. Israel, of course, did not follow the laws of their God. But eventually, through the covenant in David, Solomon, his son, built the temple, a permanent place where God would dwell among his people on the earth, where there's gravity. But you know what happened. The people of Israel, with their bodies, refused to obey his laws and went off to worship the creature instead of the creator. Now we might sit on our high horse and say, oh, if I had been, you know, among our fathers, we would not have done such a thing. As Jesus says, you testify that you are sons of those who killed the prophets. And so all sin in the end is the sin of the garden. To look to the creature and say, there I will find fulfillment. There I will find hope. Whether it's a piece of fruit on a tree or a pagan god or a Maserati or a job promotion or a temptation on the street. Whatever it is that we face, our sin is no different than that in Adam and Eve. In the end, it is all idolatry. Thinking that that created thing will give me joy, hope, fulfillment, satisfaction, when only the creator of that thing can give you that. And that thing, the fruit of the garden, whatever it might be in your life today, is intended, if it is good, to be sacramental, the thing through which you experience the presence of God and think and worship the creator of that creature, of that created thing. We know what happened to Israel. They fell into sin, as always. But God did not forsake Adam. He did not forsake his son. And so he came again and dwelt among us. In Jesus Christ. And he walked among us. And what did we do with him? What did we do with that human body? Just like Adam and Eve. Just like Israel of old. Just like we do in our sin. We killed him. We crucified him. God came to his people. And they murdered him. But God's plan will not be thwarted. God is not the author of death. He is the author of life. And so God raised him from the dead. Christos anesti. Almasiakom. Christ is risen.
Indeed he is risen.
Christos voskres.
Vistinum voskres.
Christus resurrexi.
Sicur dixi.
This is our faith. He raised Jesus from the dead, and that is the good news. Because if Jesus has been raised from the dead, you can be too in your bodies. This is the comfort you have when you lay your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, and tragically often even your child in that coffin and kiss that cold body before you close the lid. This is the comfort you have when you lay that coffin in the ground and throw dirt upon it and watch as your loved one is covered over with the earth. This is the comfort we have because this is the good news. This is the good news that world out there needs to hear. This is the good news. It was preached by the apostles, and this is the good news we are still preaching today, 2,000 years later, in Los Gatos, California. Now take this good news into your neighborhood, into your workplace, into your families, and glorify Jesus Christ, who is risen from the dead.